You're about to make a charitable contribution. When you catch yourself, what do I really know about this operation? What should I know about this operation? Okay, so maybe you don't catch yourself asking those questions, but our next guest is in the business of helping philanthropists find the best places for their money. So we wanted to pick up a tip or two. Eric Kessler is principal at Arabella Philanthropic Investment Advisors. He joins us from his office in Washington, D.C. Eric Kessler, welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you.
Eric, tell us about your work. Who, first of all, are your clients at Arabella Philanthropic Investment Advisors?
Our clients are donors who care a lot about their philanthropy, and they're trying to switch from being charitable givers to philanthropic givers. In other words, they really take their philanthropy seriously. They want to know about the organizations that they give to. They want to make sure that their contributions are being as effective as possible.
Eric Kessler, let's now get down to brass tacks. When I'm considering donating money to an organization, what factors do you think I should be considering?
I think that you first and foremost should consider what your particular goals are. And a lot of people, it's surprising, really don't spend a lot of time thinking about what it is they want to get done. They write checks to their favorite organizations, the ones they've read about in the paper, their cousin's friend's organization that wrote them a letter. And so first and foremost, I think you need to really examine what your personal goals are. You want to make sure that at the end of the year, you know what your money was used for and that it accomplished your goals. When looking at individual organizations, I think it's important to take some time and examine what their track record is, what their future plans are, what their administration is like, who's running the organization and their track record. Essentially approach it, I would say, the same way any motley fool would go about researching their investments. And you want to do more than just look at the ticker. You really want to dig in a little bit and know a little bit more about the organizations.
Eric Kessler, your job at Arabella Philanthropic Investment Advisors is to help people make better decisions with their charity, with their philanthropy. What is the most common mistake you typically see people make with their giving?
I think the most common mistake is that people don't recognize the idea that when they're giving to an organization, they're an investor, and they have an opportunity, and I would say a responsibility, to ask some questions and to learn about the organizations they're giving to. They see a great brochure, they see an article about an organization, they think, hey, that's great, I'm going to write a check. But they make the mistake of not realizing that they have the opportunity to dig in a little bit and learn more about the organization and ask for more information, ask to see the financials, ask to see audit reports. And by doing that, by asking these kinds of questions, they do two things. I think one is they learn more about the organizations and they can be more proud of who they're supporting. And they also, in the off chance, they may uncover some problems at organizations. And it's a real mistake to not ask a few questions before writing a check.
And I hear you on asking questions, and you're right. It's so similar to the process of picking a stock and doing some research around that. What are three good questions? Three good questions that I could ask an organization that I'm thinking of giving money to.
I think first and foremost, the percentage of money that goes to programming. Typically, and there really is no, I don't think there's any minimum or maximum, but typically organizations that spend less than 65% of their resources on program work, it raises a red flag. It's something to ask about. They may have a very good reason for doing that, but you want to make sure that there is an excessive amount of money going to administration.
Mm-hmm.
Linked to that would be CEO salary. And certainly organizations want to, they need to spend money to attract good people, but this is a nonprofit world, and a lot of donors don't like the idea of supporting an organization whose executive is getting paid $300,000 or more, and you'd be surprised how many nonprofit executives are getting paid more than that. I think the third question would be, what are their plans? What are they going to do with your money? And you should look for a very specific answer rather than, you know, this is a great organization, support us. You want to know exactly what your money is going to go to. Is it going to a specific program? Is it going to a new program that they have an idea for? Is it going to general operating expenses? The answers will surprise you and I think will really inform your giving.
There's been a macro movement afoot over the last 10 or 15 years to add more regulation and transparency to our financial markets and to American business. It started with the regulation really of financial services companies after the markets themselves were regulated a few decades ago. And now It extends by Sarbanes-Oxley to most American corporations that are public today that have to perform at a certain level of governance. Is that going to happen in the nonprofit world?
I think it's starting to happen. There are some aspects of Sarbanes-Oxley that affect nonprofit organizations, but largely the nonprofit world is unregulated. The Senate Finance Committee has been looking at some of these tremendous scandals, Enron-style scandals at United Way, Nature Conservancy, some really big, important organizations, and has started to think about some possibilities for regulation. Things like requiring audits for organizations with a budget of $2 million or more.
And those are not presently required?
Currently, no. There are very few regulations on nonprofits, and it's a source of concern for donors, and it should be.
You used an important phrase earlier, Eric. You talked about red flags that we might see as we look over an organization that we might consider giving to. You mentioned, for example, just a rule of thumb, really, but 65% or more of their money should be used for the program, for the mission itself. And you said, if not, hey, do some checking. That might be a red flag. Could you give me an example, maybe one or two other red flags?
A couple of red flags would be, look at the board on an organization. Organizations oftentimes find great luminaries to be on their board of directors or high-profile individuals. And there's certainly a place for that, and oftentimes those people help with fundraising. But look at the board to see if there's actually people with background in the area that the organization is working. In addition to the high-profile names, I want to see that there's some people on the board who really understand the issue area and are involved in the issue area. Look at the board. I'd look at who the other donors are, and that may or may not raise a red flag for you to know that they're receiving a large amount of corporate support, or one donor is supporting a vast majority of the organization's operating expenses. And that's not to say that that's good or bad, but as a donor, I think just as an investor in a company, you want to know who you're sharing your investment with.
Mm. Eric, many organizations allow donors to designate where they like their donations to go. For example, after the tsunami, the Red Cross created a separate fund for tsunami relief, and the Red Cross Tsunami Fund still has a big bank account of unspent money, which is probably not surprising. But what do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. There's been some criticism of the Red Cross for keeping this bank account of tsunami relief funds when there's such a great need here in the U.S., and I don't think the Red Cross should be criticized for that. In fact, if anything, donors should be criticized for that. They should recognize that when you earmark money for a specific program within an organization, a good organization will keep that money separate and will make sure that it only goes to the program that you earmarked it for. And so donors should think about the value of earmarking for specific programs, in this case tsunami relief, or recognizing that there's going to be other natural disasters, and let's leave it up to the American Red Cross to see how the money can best be used.
Hmm. Americans have given record amounts of money in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Do you sense the giving will therefore be down in other areas at the end of this year?
I think it certainly will, and I having spoken with many large nonprofits, they're already seeing a real downturn in fundraising, and I think that's natural. It's truly unfortunate. I think that there is donor fatigue in the U.S., and it's going to take a while for people to recover. And, you know, what should be remembered is that we live in the most philanthropic country in the world, and people here are so generous and so good at responding to emergencies. But donors should also think about setting up their own emergency relief fund. In other words, set aside some of your annual giving, knowing that something's going to come up that wasn't accounted for. And that way you're sure to have money set aside to support emergencies like Katrina, but then also have money set aside to support the organizations and the issues that you care most about, so that at the end of the year, again, you can look back and know that your money supported all the organizations that you really care most about.
Hmm. Let's say I'm a listener and I'm motivated to give this holiday season. I want to give away $500. What are my tax advantages? Or can you pitch me, can you hype it up, this idea that I should give away my $500?
Yeah. First, I should say that I'm not a tax advisor, and I would encourage everyone to talk to their tax advisor and make sure that they're taking advantage of all the opportunities. But essentially, if you have a tax liability, whether it's federal or state, you have an opportunity to give to a nonprofit organization and write off those charitable contributions as a deduction. And it depends on the amount of the write-off depends on what level of taxes you're paying, mm-hmm. what your annual income is. One interesting aspect that's going on right now that all motley fools should know about is that The government has allowed this year through the end of December for people to write off essentially as much as they want out of their annual adjusted gross income without any limitations. So,
and that is a special dispensation because of the tragedy of the hurricanes this year?
That's right. But charitable giving under this new law, the Katrina Relief Act, does not have to go to Katrina relief organizations, any charitable organization.
Hmm. Eric Kessler, happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you so much.
You can read more about effective philanthropy and Eric's organization at ArabellaAdvisors.com.
Give a little bit, oh, give a little bit of your love to me. I'll give a little bit, I'll give a little bit of my love to you. There's so much that we need to share, so send a smile. Show you care. All right. I'll give a little bit.